upon Calvary's cross, and he died for every soul that ever lived or will live. Right? Don't hear many amens, but anyhow, that's right. For all that, salvation unto all men, available, laden for all, freely available for all. All can be saved. Not all will be saved. Teaching us. This grace is instructing us. It's the idea of teaching the child. Teaching as a child. But here we are, and some of us probably physically have at least reached maturity. But you know, nobody ever graduates from the school. Nobody ever graduates from the school. And whether you're only a few weeks saved or many years saved like some of us, we still need this instruction, this teaching us. And so verse 12, firstly teaching negatively and secondly positively. Teaching in the negative sense, renouncing. What are we to renounce? We're to renounce ungodliness. Now, Christ died for the ungodly. We learned that. We're thankful we learned that before conversion. But you see, Paul here is addressing believers. And he's telling us that there's ongoing classes in this instruction and in this school. And there's a turning away daily from ungodliness. You see, the worldly man outside there, the unsaved person, he may be morally upright, may be outwardly morally upright, but if he's not saved, there's no place for God in his life. And so we come round to the thought of a lack of piety or a lack of reverence. And so my message comes in after what we've enjoyed from our brother. You see that teaching us to renounce ungodliness, that lack of reverence, that lack that our brothers say of the fear of God, that lack of reverence in the presence of God. You see, this casualism that is creeping in amongst us is an attitude problem. And some will tell us, well, how you behave and how you dress and how you look doesn't matter. It's really what's in the heart. Well, now, that maybe is, in a sense, true. For casualism is an attitude problem. And maybe it can be traced back into the heart. Maybe it's a heart that is estranged from God. Maybe a heart so estranged from God that they're not saved at all. Yes, renouncing ungodliness and the worldly lusts. That is, desires that are centered in the present world system. Now we're going to talk about the Lord's coming. So we're here, down here, renouncing those ungodliness and this worldly lusts, the desires that are centered in the present world system. The world system of 2018. The world system that we live in just now. The world system. I believe we're on the very verge of the Lord's coming. It can't be otherwise. And the world that is about us, with its pleasure and its passion and its practices. So in the negative sense, Paul says turn away from those things, worldly lusts. But in a positive sense, how do we live? This falls close to what our brother has been telling us. Verse, he says, in the positive sense, live soberly. Live soberly. What does that mean? Live discreetly. Live discreetly, not in the open show of a thing, not all that's loud and visual and all that is about us, but live in light of his coming. Live soberly. If you can still gather from our brother's ministry. Live within the fear of God. Live with that spirit of reverence that we're in the presence of God, not just on the Lord's Day, not just on the Wednesday night, but, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. As those that are saved by the grace of God and are in the assembly and represent by our lives. And here we are on the very verge of the Lord's coming. Live soberly, not selfward. You see, in these conditions, we live amid these conditions. They're all around us. But what's been taught is that we live apart from them. We live apart from them. We have to live in this world. We have to live 2018. And we're still thankful, though the numbers have gone down. We're still thankful for those that are young in the faith. I want to try and help you to live in this world on the very verge of the Lord's coming. To live apart. That means that, well, we've been saved, baptized, passed through death in that figure of going through the waters of baptism. That baptism, it just wasn't the act of a moment, but the fact of a lifetime. We're dead as far as the world is concerned, but alive unto Christ. You know, back there, some few years ago, there was two girls attended gospel meetings. They were really very worldly girls, but they came under the influence of the gospel, and they got saved. Some of their friends and partying friends and so on out in the world, they didn't get to hear about this event. And so in a few weeks' time, they got an invitation to an annual party and an annual event of society that they would have normally gone to and they would have normally engaged in and enjoyed very much. No, they weren't rude. They very discreetly replied and thanked them for the invitation. But said they, we can't come to that evening. We can't come to the party because we died 3 weeks ago. We died 3 weeks ago. That's the message. Yes, soberly, righteously. This is soberly selfward, righteously manward, honest and right in our dealings. You know, the businessman will know about this. He might have competitors that can cut corners, you know, do things different. He's righteous in his dealings. Moving in the corridors of business, even in the college, even in the school. Now we're saved, we're different. As man is concerned, we live righteously. You know, often I say in the preaching of the gospel, try a few series of gospel meetings, the best preacher may not be up here, you know. The best preacher can be sitting down in the seat. That dear sister that's living before our neighbor. That family that we've been reminded of, saved by the grace of God, that live before them. They mightn't agree with what we do on a Lord's Day, and they mightn't have a clue about the doctrines and the doctrines, but they can read that life, living righteously. Selfward, manward, what about Godward? Godly. This is what our brother's been at. Devotion. Commitment. Commitment. There's something about an older generation. You know, they weren't perfect. But there was one thing that marked them. They were committed. Committed to the things of God. And so, we're learning. I hope we've learned something today. You always learn something or pick up something in a conference. Verse 12, learning. But then, this expression in this present world, in this present age, this is the age just before the Lord comes, 2018. And mind you, it's amazing to me how quickly it's slipping through this year. It might be a late sort of season as to the crops and so on, but you know, the months are slipping through. Here we are on the last of the last days, on the very verge of the Lord's coming. This present world, this present course of things, we're living in the pollution of this evil age. We're living in this degraded environment, this age. Now, I'm not going to beat them all out, but, well, dear, yeah, those systems that are about us, and the very fabric of society that has wrecked the homes and wrecked the society of the people and ruined marriage and ruined the family unit and brought mankind down. I believe he's down. Mankind is lower than ever before. Do you know what? They're just down at the level, morally down at the level of barnyard animals. That's the age in which you and I live. The age, well, I can speak of the country and the nation from which I come. The age of blatant discrimination against Bible principles, against Bible-believing Christians. Reverse discrimination against all that is of God, of Christ, of the Bible. Even the principles of right and wrong. Evil upon the throne, truth to the scaffold. This old world's upside down, isn't it? But you're left to live not so much as part of it, but we have to live amid it. You see, at this present age, at the head of it, is the God of this world. If we can't grasp it as the people of God, the devil's a no fog. But he knows that his time is short. An all-out attack upon anything that is of God or of Christ or of Bible principles. What about this world? What about this world? April 2018. Outstanding feature of it is imitation. Deception. Outstanding feature. He has blinded the minds over the airwaves, the media. I'll not go into the politics of your country, but I do believe something about what your president says about fake news. You know, it comes across, doesn't it? Just imitation. People live in a sort of phantom imagination, will say that. Just, well, they gaze upon these things and they just see actors and soap operas and entertainment. And you know, really, in social weekends and pop gospel, Christian bands, well, I know we've changed the words a little, but just the tunes of the world. You can get in tune with those things. Living apart in the midst of this present world of imitation, of imagination, of information, empty theories and delusions of lies. The Bible says, science falsely so called. We're living in the age of innovation, inventions. And there's sometimes, you know, it gets in amongst that spirit of getting the latest and the best. And borrowing beyond our means and getting into the greed of this world. The instant. This present age is the instant age. The now age. The new age. Fast food. Drive through. Credit card. Just live for today. If you like it, do it. This instant. We must have it this instant. You know? Put the crops in the ground. Feed them with fertilizer, blow them up. And the cattle outside inject them with hormones, blow them up, and then we eat the stuff and poison ourselves. The instant. The image, the screen, the PowerPoints, and all these things. Again, I can speak quite freely. There's an assembly back home, and some time ago they decided to have a week of gospel meetings, particularly for young folk, children's meetings. Young brother came, a full-time brother too. He turned up for the meeting on a Monday night, and the trunk was full of screens and projectors and pointers and PowerPoints, a whole lot of apparatus. And he delivered his message, and the brethren afterwards said, "Now, that was a good message, but no Bible. No Bible." Well, Tuesday night, we'd like you to bring the Bible, read from the Bible. No Bible. No PowerPoints and cables and all the buttons and all the rest, but no Bible. You know, it took 3 nights before they got him settled down and said, "Now look, we're gathering in the children, and we're teaching them from the Bible. We're teaching them from the Bible, and we want to get the verses into their minds. And it's good what you're putting up there, and we're not disagreeing with it. But we want these children to appreciate where we're getting these verses. We want you to read from the Bible." The Bible. You know, I do appreciate our brother. He's gone now, but down there in the back room, it's some lovely volumes. If I wasn't limited with my baggage on the plane, I might have bought another one. I've some sort of a weakness about a Bible. Just a Bible. You know, this volume that we've got, sometimes we look upon it in the language, antiquated and that type of thing. Well, it wasn't modern language when it was translated. Wasn't. But when they translated it, they were careful to take the original and bring it through to us in the most accurate language. Not even modern language then, but the most modern language. You know, I appreciate that. The script, not the screen. I'm going to get into trouble here. But you know, there have been men in the past, and for me to handle that volume, do you know what they did? They laid down their lives. Martyrs at the stake to give me the Bible in my own language. The script. Do we want the video or the volume? I like that volume. I appreciate that volume. Do you know what? That volume told me that I was a sinner, saved as a schoolboy. And that volume told me about a Savior that was wounded for my transgressions. We sing with the boys and girls, "Back home I have a wonderful treasure, gift of God without measure. We will travel together, my Bible and I." What about this world? What's the features of it? What about the internet? Well, first as well get into problems properly. If there's one waste of time, it is the internet. I'm preaching from this expression, this present world. Now, the world out there is in no fog about it. They call it WWW. You know what that means? Maybe you don't. It means World Wide Web. They put the right title on it, the world. This says here, this present world. Let me say this. I can speak very openly today, for I don't know present conditions. And I don't know the background of those that are here, but I speak with a sympathy, especially for young men and young sisters that are here. What are you looking at? Hmm? in your bedroom, in your room, when you're not at the meeting. What are you looking at? Now, we've all got the same flesh. What are you looking at? We've all got the same flesh, dear young brother. Would there be something that you're looking at, and I'd be giving you good advice today to stop it, for it'll end up in disaster. Now, I can speak, I'm not putting a face on anything, for I don't know. I ask those things. The Bible, are we getting that which is spiritual for our souls, or is it pixels? Is it coming from heaven, or is it coming from cyberspace? What can we say about this present world of imitation, of imagination, of information, of internet, of image, of influence? The fast, the false, the fashion, the tight, the skimpy, the colored, the cut, the glitter, the jewel, tinsel. Those things are coming in amongst us, aren't they? Where are they coming from? So somebody, there's no scriptures about against them. Well, maybe it's better you look it up in your Bible. It's in my Bible, I know. Maybe you look it up in your Bible. Romans 12 and 2. Be not conformed to this world. In the midst of all that, learning, looking for that blessed hope. Looking for. The idea here is waiting for. Waiting up for. Ready to welcome. Earnest expectation. You know, if someone was, if a family was out late, and like you would do in this country, they're taking a long journey, and the winter conditions upon them, and all sorts of potential of difficulties on the road, and it got late. And it got late. And they're far beyond the hour appointed of their return. And it's getting on into the morning hours, and they're still not home. Huh? They're still not home. What would you do? Go off to bed and sleep? Retire? Just forget about them? No. You'd be waiting up for. Yes, waiting up for. That's the idea. Waiting up to welcome. Waiting up with earnest expectation. That blessed hope, waiting on tiptoe of expectation. That blessed hope. The idea is that blessed, blissful, rich, beneficial. I know it's, we think about it, the Lord's coming. He's going to take us away from all this. Take us away from all that's a grief to Him. All that makes us to groan, but the first aspect of what's recorded here is the rapture. Imminent. True. Meet Him in the air. How bright that blessed hope. But you know, the Greek grammar, it dictates one event. It's the full manifestation of His glory. It's His appearing in glory. The antecedent of the whole expression is verse 14, who gave Himself for us. And so, in the primary sense, oh, blessed name. Bless the name of the Lord Himself. It's that which is blessed unto Him. His glory. Remember, I was thinking about it this morning, John 17, as He was going out to the cross. Out to Gethsemane. He prayed twice that night. His first prayer was, Father, glorify Thy Son. Glorify Thy Son. In this world, Your Savior and mine, He's unrecognized. He's rejected. Here we are, and we leave the conference today in the firm expectation of all that is involved in His appearing in glory. His appearing in glory. I know I've said plain things. Maybe you're saying, well, that Irishman's gone too far and said too much. My little world. if I to make sacrifices? Is there things that I have to give up? My time? Give up my life? My things? My interests? My luxuries? My social life? My way of living? America 2018. For me back home, UK, all that marks modern living. Well, there's one thing that settles it. One thing that settles it for me at least. What does it say, verse 14? Who gave himself for us? Those little things that I would need to leave aside and just give up those things. I'm not talking about the gross things. I'm not saying there's anything in your life that it is a grosser type of thing. But just those hindrances. Just those things that come in between you, as we've been hearing, and reverence before God, to live in the fear of God, to live right for Christ and for His glory. Well, if I had to give up those things, well, as I say, I don't know about you, but it settles it for me. He gave Himself for me. He gave Himself. Didn't hold anything back now. He gave Himself for me. I'll not beat it out any further. Beloved, says John, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And so we can say with Paul, and we can say with John, and in light of the Lord's coming, and that looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, with this blessed hope in view, we would more wholly be more like our blessed, glorious Lord, whose face we soon shall see. May God bless His word.